Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. We hope all of our listeners are doing fabulous, and we have some new people with us today.
Are you talking about me since I haven't been here
for
2 weeks?
Yeah, that's true. A lot
I
of
am
new
James,
people in
co-host of Boggy Talk.
His voice is back. All right.
You got to turn your volume down on your radio again.
We've been in a series, so we're basically introducing some of our new staff members, but also just talking about different ministries that we have within the church. And so today we have Greta and Lucas with us today.
Woo!
So I'm going to go ahead and let you guys introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do at Church on Bayshore for those that might still not know.
Yeah. So I'm Lucas Comer, and I am the kids pastor here. The last time I did Boggy Talk, I was the pastor. Wow. So I am the kids pastor here, and I've been here since April. So almost a week or so away from 5 years.
Yeah.
Here at Church
on April Bayshore. 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow.
2020. Mm-hmm. What a wild. Yeah.
We don't need to reflect on this.
I just always, it's such a vivid, having dinner with you guys at, it was me and Christy and Dana and Michael and you at Cantina Laredo.
Yes.
Not having any clue in the world what was about to happen.
Yep. Oh, it was right before.
It was the last time we were meeting in person for
I know.
A while.
I know. So, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway. Yeah.
And Greta.
Who are you?
Yes. I'm Greta. I have been here almost a year come June.
Okay.
So I am the preschool ministry coordinator. I help Lucas on the preschool side, so babies through kindergarten. My family moved here from Georgia, and I grew up Southern Baptist. My grandmother was actually a kids minister.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she was really big in our town, and a lot of people say her funeral was one of the biggest. So it was fun seeing her in children's classes. And so I've always loved children, like helping them and watching them grow. And so, yeah, so that brought me into kids ministry along the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And something I love about Greta is that Greta was already here. She was a member of the church. Mm-hmm. We do love when we can promote from within or hire staff from within, because they kind of already get the culture of the church. So you guys were here how long before you moved into the role?
We moved here in 2022.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, about 2 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So why kids ministry?
So kids ministry for me has kind of just been always the plan, you know, since I was in middle school. I've been serving in kids ministry, whether on a Wednesday night role or eventually turning into serving as a kids Sunday school teacher at my church. And so just really love getting to serve with kids. It's just such an important age. And like the more statistics and the more research is done on like spiritual development and spiritual formation, like kids ministry is such an important age to reach people for the gospel. And so forming their worldview, getting to teach them about spiritual disciplines that will serve them as they become Christians for the rest of their lives and as they serve and follow Jesus. And so I love it. It's super fun because you get to have a lot of fun with the kids, but also get to teach them a lot of really cool principles about who Jesus is and what God did for them. And so, so that's kids ministry's kind of always been the thing.
Yeah. What about you, Greta? I know you touched on it briefly.
Yeah. So I am big in numbers, like data and stuff like that. So one thing that I had learned was that children start to form their worldview at 15 months. And I've always served in any church that I've been, I've served in younger kids, like preschool age babies. And I just, even at that age, I think it's so important that we teach them who Jesus is, like just getting to know Jesus's name, saying his name, saying the word Bible, just so that they get to know, like once they get up into their age and they already know what these things are and they already have that foundation. Just from a preschool standpoint, to me, that just hit home with me, learning that they start forming those views and knowing these things at 15 months.
That's good. Well, so I think for some of us that grew up in the church, we maybe kids ministry was childcare back then.
Yes.
And things have really changed.
Trying to get Lucas' face to turn red right now.
Yes. I know he loves the correct vocabulary to use. So, but there's really kind of been involvement of kids' ministry within churches. And so what is the goal of children's ministry?
Well, I think what's interesting about that is it hasn't always been that way. So the shift towards childcare, I think, is indicative of a culture that became increasingly less disciplined in discipleship. Because if you look at historic roots of even Southern Baptist churches, I mean, it was intentional instruction of children, catechisms, you know, Sunday school was a mechanism for teaching children English and how to read, but also teaching them the Bible. So I think that idea of childcare is really a reflection of our culture. And I don't think that's how all Christians view it, but yeah, you hear that phrase used often. But I think, you know, very simply, I would just say, you know, that as a parent, who's a Christian parent, Deuteronomy 6, along with other passages, really place the importance of teaching our children who God is, his word, and about, you know, recalling that and living that out. And then, you know, as a church, we share in that responsibility together. I would just add that part of that, and maybe kind of the burden of children's ministry, is if we are a church that is making disciples from the harvest, reaching people, then we are not always just simply equipping and encouraging Christian parents to disciple their children, but rather we're taking non-Christian parents or new Christian parents and really teaching, showing them how to do it, because they have no idea how to do it. But I would just say, and I'll let them kind of talk about more of maybe our philosophy of children's ministry, like that's an imperative on any church because children are around and Jesus prioritized them, and that intentionality is absolutely essential to what the church does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucas, you know, you've been here for 5 years now. So what has been your vision? What is your vision for children's ministry here at Church on Bayshore?
Yeah. So I'd say that's definitely changed a little bit. Going into COVID, a lot of kids ministry lingo was parents are primary. Parents are the primary disciple makers at home. Like we need to, because the church kind of took a shift in the late 80s, 90s, early 2000s of like, we'll pull the children out of service. Right. Let's pull the children out of these things and let's do things. And it was a good heart of like, we want to give them teaching that is directed at them. That isn't PBS, that isn't all of these special events, that is weekly and regular. And then to a point where we got to where the children were only hearing the Bible and the gospel in Sunday school. And we only have them 2, 3, 4 hours a week, depending on your attendance. And so really like that parents are the primary has been that big key thing, late 2000s, 2010s and things like that. And we got to the point of the pandemic and when I started here of like, hey, let's point parents to this. And then the church went away. I mean, it didn't go away, but like the physical, physical church went away of like, there's not Sunday school. There may be a Zoom Sunday school, but it's really different. And here's a Zoom kids ministry event. Like when I did OMC and it was just, it was great, but it's different. And really recognizing there's a gap here of, are our parents really ready to be the primary? Do they know how to be the primary? Have we equipped them to be the primary? And while the Bible says it and we believe it, parents should be the primary, kids ministry is kind of shifting now to how can we be a partnership with parents? Because we have parents in our ministry that are the primary, that are doing a great job, and that are really working with it, and they need somebody to walk alongside of them. But then we have those new believers that you were talking about and those people that didn't grow up in church who are like, okay, I have kids and I want to teach them about the Bible. What do I do? Like, what does this mean? Like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And so really, I think our vision fits into it. Like, we're leading kids to believe in Jesus, belong to God's family, become who God created them to be, impacting the world for Christ. And we are doing that by providing them really biblically rich and biblically centered teaching on Sundays and Wednesdays. But we're also walking right alongside of the parents in family discipleship with resources and walking alongside of them. That way, kids are getting a full approach, and then parents feel like we are right beside them, helping them as they lead in their homes.
That's good. So that transitions us right into the word you used and we're throwing it around a lot, family discipleship. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to somebody who's like, what?
Yeah.
Didn't grow up in the church. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think we tend to get focused on like different methods of that, mm-hmm. you know, and people, you know, family integrated worship, family worship at home, like, you know, whatever it be. And I'm not knocking any of that stuff. Those are all good things. But I think at the end of the day, the question as a dad, you know, I have seven children in my house right now, that I answer to God for is, did I show them who Jesus is and mm-hmm. teach them about who Jesus is? Mm-hmm. And you know, Jesus is God. So, you know, I mean, the fullness right. of full counsel. And so it is really being intentional with my life, being about preparing my children to walk in the ways of Jesus. So I would just say, you know, Lucas is going to talk about a lot of things that we do, but they're all under that umbrella, mm-hmm. right? They're all, they serve that purpose. And I think Lucas, you know, pointed out something really great, you know, is that the church, and we're very blessed to be the size we are. We have a children's pastor who, you know, really has that like understanding of, I want to help our parents. It's a terrible phrase in many times, but like indoctrinate, you know, our children mm-hmm. into the core teachings of who God is. So we're blessed there, mm-hmm. but I just want to be careful. And like in smaller churches, it doesn't have to be as programmed out as we are.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's at the end true. Of the day, I think every parent and then every pastor answers to God for how are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And what kind of disciples are we making out of our children? So I'll let Lucas yeah. talk more about
that. So how are we doing
yeah,
this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we try not to overwhelm parents because like you were saying, like there are a million different programs, methods, things that you can be doing to disciple your kids at home. Mm-hmm. And it really depends on your schedule. Yep. It depends on your family dynamic. It depends on you as parents. Like, are you like outgoing and willing to do all the crazy things?
Yeah,
or are you like more true. Like, hey, we're going to do something in our living room and not go crazy.
You ever see people on Instagram? You're like, well, that works for you.
Yeah.
It
yeah. yeah.
happened at my house.
That. Yeah. People that are musically inclined, right. like love yeah. to do family worship. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that.
My kid would just laugh at me the whole yes. time if I was going to lead them in.
Exactly.
Justin, got, his kid's probably crying. You know, yes.
exactly. So we try and just encourage our parents to do something. So we give resources in a plethora of ways. There is a family at home worship that follows our Sunday curriculum. And then on our family resource walls that we provide for our families, we provide things from family discipleship practices, which is just a different like spiritual discipline or a practice that you can do at home mm-hmm. to help bring your family back to the Bible, bring them back to having those spiritual conversations at home. And that's, we provide them with gospel resources. We provide them with conversations after church and things like that. And so we're always looking for ways that we can get new resources or mm-hmm. new practices in their hands, because some of our families may really love the family discipleship practice 1 month, and the next month it may not work very well for them.
Yeah.
And so trying to give them tools that they can use yeah. in their household.
That's awesome. So those resources are provided monthly mm-hmm. and you have physical copies and then also online people can find them.
That's right.
You had told me a story about a parent mm-hmm. and I'll let you share the story, but just, you know, what they thought about the family discipleship resources.
Yeah, no, we've heard some really good feedback from it. This one that we're doing in the month of March is about self-control, which is a fun one to talk about kids. and it's talking yes. about, like, week one, they focus on their actions. Week two, it's emotions. Week four, or week three, it's habits or, emotions. Yes. And then there's one that's about serving others. Mm-hmm. And in it, the practice is pause and pray. So usually when our kids are like doing something that they're not supposed to, or they're disobeying, it's an immediate like, hey, let's have this conversation. You're in trouble. You're grounded. Or, hey, stop doing that. But the practice is when those moments happen, like as a family, we're going to pause, or as you as a parent with your child, we're going to pause and we're going to stop and we're going to ask the Lord to help us with mm-hmm. our obedience in this, whether it's listening better or whether it's mm-hmm. being nicer to a friend mm-hmm. or whether it's controlling our anger when we get angry at somebody, or yeah. whether we're being a little selfish and we need to ask the Lord to help us to remind us to put others first. And so I've heard from a few parents that have texted me that are like, wow, this moment, this has been really good for our family, but it's been really challenging for me as a parent because I also need my pause and pray moments. And so it's just been a really cool moment to see the families actually getting to walk this out in their lives.
That's awesome. Well, you said the word text, so it reminded me, you guys, Greta, y'all send out texts pretty regularly to families.
Yeah.
And just tell us about that.
Yeah. So once a month we send out texts, not on a computer. Like we are on our phones and we are texting the families, and we are reminding them of things that are coming up. We're reminding them where they can find the discipleship for that month. Or if we have, if it's a new month, we'll be like, hey, new discipleship's coming up. Be sure to see one of us at the boat. We'll be handing those out. So we like to text them, and we also, when we're texting them, we ask what they need prayer for. That kind of goes along with the discipleship piece too, because a lot of our families who are asking us to pray are saying, hey, can you just pray that we have time to, you know, sit as a family and do this? Because, I mean, all of our lives get super busy, especially with, you know, as they're growing older, you get sports and things like that. But even from the preschool standpoint, you know, some of these parents, they're like, well, how do I do this in preschool? So we try to put a preschool section in each of those so that way they can know what to do with littles. But
That's awesome.
So we are texting everyone.
It's great. I love how you guys are very intentional and just always coming up with new things and trying to keep communication open with parents. That's important. Well, this all sounds great, and we have a fairly large children's ministry, so it takes a lot more than just you two to pull it off.
That's right.
What are some of the challenges that you guys have with just being able to put all of these pieces in place to make it run effectively?
Yeah, I would say our biggest challenges are just very common. You could probably guess it is volunteers in kids ministry. We do have a large, our church has a large like preschool and young family demographic, just with the military being so close. So a lot of our preschool rooms have really high numbers, and then our elementary rooms as well. And so having people that are willing to jump into those classrooms, and even having people that are willing to teach in those classrooms, can be a challenge for us to find those people that are willing to do that. And so that's kind of a big challenge, finding family or figuring out ways to help our families who are so busy is another challenge that we face regularly, whether it's with our family discipleship resources or it's asking for people to serve. We have a lot of families that are really busy. Like their calendar is full and looks terrifying to look at for a 1 month overview. But that's a hard balance for families.
And you mentioned the military piece. We're constantly having people, they're here and they get involved. Often it is the military families who really do get plugged in, but then they're not going to be here forever. So they leave. So then you're having to refill all those spots again.
That's a unique part of our church, because they're a unique aspect of our church, because we are every summer and then fall, we're having to say goodbye to people and wish some people well and open up some new volunteer needs and things like that. But we're also having to recommunicate our vision, recommunicate our values, recommunicate our methods of how we do things, train people how to do things to because this new group that's coming in. And so like whereas like a church that doesn't have that transient community, like we can communicate it once and then we just need to find random places to just reiterate it. Like there are people that have no idea what we do and how we do it and why we do it. And so that's kind of a challenging thing. And then our church has a lot of really awesome safety policies that we follow. And so like with new families that come in, we ask them to be here for 6 months so that we can know them and so that they can know our church, so that they can be involved in worship, they can be involved in a life group, and then slowly work themselves into serving positions. And so that's another challenging part that we love. Like we love that that's a challenge that we face, because we want people to be involved in our church. We don't want strangers serving in our kids ministry. We want people that we know and that are a part of the vision of our church serving alongside of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, being in a military community really allows our church, we probably average about 1200 right now, to impact way more than a church of 1200. Like I think the impact of church on Bayshore in our nation, is bigger than, a lot of churches that are even just our size because of that. I mean, mm-hmm. you could say some other things, mm-hmm. but what people maybe don't think about is that's more work than
it's not
the work of a church of 1200 because you are having to assimilate so many people every single year. Mm-hmm. And you know, I feel like the giving piece has been pretty good, you know, in terms of the church. Cause those are people that give that are leaving, right. but it feels like a lot of people do typically jump into that pretty quick, but it has been a challenge. Specifically the last few years of kind of filling that void in children's ministry every year. And with the growing student ministry, he graduates a lot of people from children's ministry yeah. service to student yeah. ministry service. So, you know, it is a challenge. So yeah. I would add another challenge is just, and you said, I mean, it's just the culture, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, what we're trying to do. Any church is trying to do that's intentional about discipleship is countercultural. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the busyness you talked about is life. Some of it is people probably need to change the rhythms
yeah.
of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so they're kind of, mm-hmm. I don't want to say fighting against that, but they're working against that just in our community, especially like people are not giving themselves margin to be intentional mm-hmm. about discipleship.
Yeah.
And yet we're providing these resources. And then our parents might feel like, well, being engaged is burdensome. It's like, well, no, you're, the amount of things you've said yes to
yeah.
is yeah. burdensome.
Right.
And so they're going against that. And then another thing, you know, is like, I know Lucas and Greta's heart and they're both in life groups is that truly these families are only going to thrive if they're actually in community, if they're in mm-hmm. biblical community, not just taking the resources of the children's ministry and doing them like mm-hmm. they're fleshing them out with others. And a lot of people don't prioritize that, you know? And yeah. so they can only go so far mm-hmm. and how they, I mean, you know, like they can lead people to, you know, the water, but they can't make people drink the water.
Yeah.
And I think that's a tough thing for them. And that's not an easy thing. But I do think what Lucas and Greta and our children's ministry have done very well is provide a vehicle mm-hmm. for families that recognize their need
right.
to prioritize family discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I'm coming from a military family myself. Like when you have people moving all the time, sometimes people shut themselves off
yeah.
because they move so much. They're like, oh, another yeah. place, another, you know, more people that we have to meet. And then some people just open themselves up really easily. So, you know, just trying to, and that's been some prayers that we've had yeah. is people have asked us to pray. Like they find their community here, mm-hmm. they find their life group and things mm-hmm. like that. And so it's super important, not just, and that's what what I love that Lucas focuses on too, is not just the children. He focuses on the parents mm-hmm. as well, making sure that they get plugged in as well. Mm-hmm. Because, again, coming from a military background, you know, when you come into a new place and you don't know anybody, it's yeah. kind of intimidating. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Finding that community that we found here at Bayshore just is super yeah. important.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
good.
So those are some great solutions. I think, you know, you spoke to that it's a lot of kind of the issue behind it is the margin and mm-hmm. where's the heart in that, you know, are people making church basically their center or is something else, a school or
yeah.
sports the center
uh-huh.
and then, you know, church is just one of the add-ons. So
yeah. you said that well.
Yeah.
That
well. But
said it so much nicer than I said.
Well, I was just summarizing it again. So yeah. thanks for the info. But you guys had mentioned this that you're trying to get families connected. So what are some ways that you've gotten people involved with other families in the church and things that you do through kids ministry?
Yeah, so we do that through a lot of our events, and the way that we do events provides family connection with the way that we do our summer VBS. Like, we don't do it as a drop-off event. We do it as a your family is invited to your neighbor's house.
Right.
And so parents stay, and our host homes are trained on, like, hey, provide a space where you can connect with the other parents mm-hmm. so that the kids are connecting with each other, and we have a team that's there to intentionally mm-hmm. focus and hang out with those kiddos. But we also have an area for adults and parents to plug in together. With the way that we do our family night outs, we have our spring family night out coming up in April, which is the daddy-daughter dance and the mother-son game night. Parents are involved in that. It could
yeah.
be a
yeah.
kids' night out where kids drop off and parents, and there's a lot of churches that do it where couples can go have a date night and things like that, which is really sweet, and we love that. But we also love that our parents get
yeah.
to hang out with their kids
yeah.
and they get
mm-hmm.
to hang out with each other and they get to meet other parents who have similar aged kids and are
right.
in this similar phase of life. And we even do some of that with some of our preschool events.
Yeah. So we do a preschool family social twice a year, and preschool families can come, bring their kids. We have toys that they can play with. And I even have talking points on the table. It's like a little game so that they can kind of find out about one another. Maybe they have something in common. Maybe they used to live in the same state, or just to get to know one another, know that you are not alone in your walk, and just to get plugged in, and not only just the preschool family social. I mean, that was the fall festival that's how we got connected with Bayshore. We had a family that was here at Bayshore, and our kids connected at school, and they said, hey, come to the fall family social with us. And then they introduced us to James. And we just fell in love with the church. Yeah. So we fell in love with the church and the community. And so, yeah, just the events, that's the goal of those events, is to try to bring community together.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Well, can you tell us, shout out, for if people want to become more involved volunteering? I know that, as we said, we really need volunteers. Tell us some of the ways that they can get involved.
Yeah, definitely. So right now we are in a season of getting ready to prepare to recruit for Sunday mornings, just because we know that PCS season is going to come. And we have
did you even know what that was 5 years ago?
I did not. People kept referencing it. And I was like,
sure.
Such a party.
Now it is.
Now you're like, it's the top vocabulary word for me. But we're preparing for that. We're also dealing with an awesome challenge of a lot of our families do serve. We do want to brag on that. Like 65% of our families are serving right now, which is incredible. But that's a lot of young families that are still adding to their families.
Yes.
And so we've had quite a few babies born this year. We've got quite a few moms that are getting ready to have babies. And so we're just preparing for that. And so our volunteer ask that we are doing is not just for our families to serve, it's for our whole church to come alongside of us and serve with us. Because we recognize that it's a big need to serve our kids weekly in kids ministry. And so we're asking everyone that has that space to come alongside of us and serve on a once a month rotation with us. And we have other needs available, like bi-weekly and every week volunteers. But just starting off with us as once a month volunteers and seeing where you serve best. You reach out to me, or you reach out to Greta, or you reach out to Taylor, and we'll walk you through our volunteer process. It's about 3 steps of just some different trainings and different things for people to go through that include background checks, that include sexual abuse awareness training, policies and procedure training. And then we let you serve with somebody that has served in our ministry for a while. That way you can kind of see how the room flows, see how everything happens. And then we walk alongside of you as you come onto the team as well. So that's the biggest way that people can jump in and serve on the team right now.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, I just want to say that, like, I think there's a tendency as a church member in America, in the West, to see specific aspects of the church and think, well, that's for some people. But, like, children's ministry, I'm not saying you have to be in there every week, but the need is something that every church member should care about. And every church member should ask, just like the budget, right? Like, every church member should ask, what has God given me that I can use towards this? And that looks different. Some people can give a lot and some people can't give a lot. Same with children's ministry. That is not something that is for Lucas and Greta and their people, right? Like, that is something that matters to all of us. And I think there are certain things that God helps a church who prioritizes with. Like, we believe God has majorly impacted and grown our church because we are prioritizing the kingdom, not just one church. But I would say, like, children's ministry is the same as well. And, like, just 2 stories. One, you know, we've adopted several children. By the way, sometimes when I meet with people, they're like, we just can't give an hour and 15 minutes to children's ministry. And I'm like, do you know that we have, like, kids in our house 24/7?
Yeah,
because of the mission of God. So anyway, we're not better than them. I'm just like, so I'm not that awesome. You can do an hour and 15 minutes at least every week. But anyway, that's okay. But like, my adopted son, who's 6, who, you know, we just said yes to foster care. He was abandoned in the hospital. A couple weeks ago, Christy, his his kids ministry teacher told Christy, she was like, he understands the gospel. You know, he understands the gospel. Yes, because of us, but also because of how often he's hearing it in our children's ministry. And when I was listening to PT on the podcast 2 weeks ago talk about how he grew up with the foundation of the church, and then he kind of wandered. But so many people, like, I think because so many people walk away from the church, we are like, or they rebel, we're like, well, children's ministry isn't even that effective. But how many of those kids actually end up coming back?
Right.
Like, so many people do. I mean, some of it's just the way of a 16 to 20-year-old person. But, like, they have a kid or an encounter happens and all those things that they've learned. And it's not just about, like, that one lesson and that one moment. It's about just the collective church body being so committed to the truth of Scripture. Like, and it just keeps producing fruit. And so, like, the appeal here is, I mean, I think we have an excellent children's ministry that executes excellently, communicates well, has a great vision. But the appeal here is that we are God's people who he's asked to help him in this. And I would just say in our church, we are seeing great fruit, and you can be a part of that in some way.
That's right.
So anyway, I didn't plan on talking about that, but
no, that was great. That's the encouragement that we need for sure, because you're right. It's, it's all of our jobs. And when everybody helps, it helps. You know, we need everybody, and that's a really important reminder. So before we close, just wanted to go over a couple of events that will be coming up shortly so people know about it. So can you tell us what's on the horizon?
Yeah, for elementary, you're going to start hearing some things about our family night out that's coming up, and that'll be at the end of April after we get through with Easter, just gearing up for closing out the school year. And then pretty soon, you'll start seeing a lot of our promotion for our Backyard Kids Clubs. And so we are super excited for that. The theme is magnified. Kids will be discovering the bigness of God and the smallest things. And it is a great curriculum. It is a great theme this year. We're super excited about that. So you'll start hearing about ways that you can be involved, ways that you can host a club in your community, or the ways that you can bring your kids along as well. And then, so we're super excited about that.
Yeah, and in preschool, we have the Bubblepalooza. So we'll have a bubble cannon. They can run through all the bubbles.
It's so fun.
And we'll have a bounce house playground. And we count all them
as baptized, right? Sprinkling.
That is,
yes. There's probably churches that don't do that far off. Anyway, we'll move on. Keep going, Greta.
We actually host that one with the B-School. So the B-School will be involved in that as well. So that's the preschool event that's coming up. But we are also involved with the kids' clubs. And let me just say, I played a mean game of drip, drip, drop last year, and they all laughed at me because I fell in the mud. So this year, it's on.
It is the best.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, great. We are super thankful for both of you. Just that you follow the word and God's vision for what he wants the church to be and what kids ministry looks like in the church. So thank you for being here. Thanks for sharing your hearts with us. And if you have any questions about volunteering, you can contact Taylor at churchonbayshore.org. Or if you have questions, you can also contact Greta.
Claire, it is T-A-Y-L-O-R, not T-A-Y-Y-Y-Y-Y-L-O-R.
Yeah. That was more of a, is it Lucas or Taylor?
Am I saying the right?
You can reach out to any of us. My country accent, apparently. I can do it. So, anyways. Well, thanks for tuning in, guys. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.